Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
Welcome to the Mark and Michelle Emergency Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan. The biggest transaction of the year. Howie Roseman could have slipped this one by us, Rube.
You got issues, dude.
What do you mean?
Ever since Mark and Michelle was released in August, Dave's been, I think, in kind of a deepening depression.
I think so. I'm back, baby.
He's back. You're back. You're upbeat. The season's kind of feels like it was like a lot of energy, a lot of new energy in the locker room.
I'm thinking 4-0 now.
Oh, with Mark in the house?
Yeah.
There's no
question.
I know
he's not on the active roster.
No,
but
it doesn't even matter.
I think he'll rub off enough.
Just the energy, the swagger he brings.
Yeah.
The tenacity.
Okay.
I don't know. Can we start the podcast for real now?
Okay, fine. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan, Ruben Frank, and Dave Zangaro. That's not the only news of Thursday.
It's not even the news.
It's not even the news.
It's not even news.
Interesting tidbit on Thursday afternoon. Kamu Grugier-Hill on the injury report with a concussion. The reason this is interesting is because he was in the locker room on Wednesday, spoke to reporters, which is forbidden if you're in the concussion
protocol.
That's
a league rule.
Yeah. It is a league rule. And he wasn't in the concussion protocol yet. He reported those concussion symptoms to the team on Thursday morning. He has a concussion. He's in the protocol. His status for Monday up in the air now, and he's a pretty important player. We don't know exactly when he suffered that concussion, but we have a pretty good guess. I mean, he had a nasty collision with Devontae Parker on the very first play from scrimmage against the Dolphins. He returned. He played 42 snaps. But if that was the play he ended up getting a concussion on, we're talking about a guy who played an entire game with one. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but that's why they have concussion spotters.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. I mean, this was like a Stuart Bradley type thing.
No, he looked like fine after that, but like he was on the ground for a while. He had to get checked up by the medical staff on the sideline. It took him a long time to get off the field.
Yeah, it did.
I thought maybe he just got the wind knocked out of him.
I mean, you're talking about 4 days later. I don't remember anything ever being quite like this.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Now, concussions are weird animals, certainly, and it could have been a deal where the symptoms were not extreme, but they didn't go away. But I'll tell you what, a lot of players, and I've had players tell me this, that they know how to game the system.
Oh, yeah. Malcolm Jenkins has said it on the record.
Yeah. They know what the questions are. They know how to answer the questions to make the doctors think that they don't have a concussion. They know how to handle it. I'm not saying Kemu did this, but we've heard of players doing it. Heard a few players who have done that. So I don't know. I don't know. It's not the safest thing to do. I mean, if you experience those symptoms, you should go right to the – maybe he didn't have them till Wednesday night or Thursday morning. We don't know. But it is definitely highly unusual and maybe even unprecedented. I don't remember a concussion ever going undiagnosed or unnoticed for 4 days.
It's a long time. And in that game, he didn't miss any time after that collision. He was right back on the field the next series. So makes you kind of question what happened there. Well, eventually, I guess we'll get some answers from him. We won't be able to talk to him until he's out of the concussion protocol. So – might be a little while. I don't know how long it's going to take. All these concussions are different, but
seen one concussion, you've seen concussion.
That's a great quote from Rick Burkholder.
Yeah,
but that wasn't what we planned on talking about.
Well, we should just say. I mean, it's not like they have a ton of depth at outside linebacker.
They don't. I would guess that in the base package, they'll play T.J. Edwards inside, and they'll play Nate Gary and Nigel Bradham outside. But they'll still keep Nigel as the signal caller. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, and then Alex Singleton's the next guy.
Yeah, he'd be the next guy up.
The next guy up. But yeah.
It wasn't where we planned on going with this, but while we're on it, interesting note from Thursday's practice. Fully padded, which is unusual at this time of year. Honestly, the last 2 years, they've been so banged up at this point in the season that Doug has scaled back to the point where they're basically doing walkthroughs this late in the season. And for him to have a fully padded hour and 45-minute practice is kind of telling. It's a move to try to get something out of his team.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to say it's a desperate act, but it's close to it. The Eagles never are padded this late in the season. And Doug's always been really good about kind of having a feel for what his team needs. If, you know, there's a point earlier this year where they got a bunch of guys hurt and they had a walkthrough instead of a regular practice that Wednesday. He's pretty good about understanding where his guys are, what they need, when they need to be driven hard, when he needs to back off. The guys seem to like it. The guys I talked to seem to appreciate, seem to think it was a good thing for him. He said it was a great practice. The CBA actually limits how many padded practices you're allowed to have during each segment of the season, during training camp, during the regular season. I think the regular season's even broken into sections, I believe. There, but you're not allowed to go, you know, with pads every day, and certainly every Wednesday or anything like that. You're very limited to how many times you can do it. Doug, you know, thought this was the time, and you can sure understand why. I mean, this is a team that certainly needs a wake up call.
Yeah, no, I think it. I don't know if it's a good or bad decision, but it's something. At least he did something. He changed up the status quo, which I think they kind of needed. I thought there was an interesting answer from Doug Peterson at his press conference on Thursday, and he kind of brought it up on his own. He was asked about the messaging to the team, and he said that it's just as much on the coaches as it is the players, and he's the one who started bringing up accountability for his assistant coaches. Interesting. And yeah. Then to get it a step further, he was asked more about the accountability for his coaches, and he said the number one thing they're judged on is, and he tells them this before OTAs, is the performance of their position groups, which we all kind of know, but to hear a head coach say this before the end of a season.
And not just to say, but to bring it up on his own.
Bring it up on his own.
So you know that's been kind of going through his mind if he brought that up.
Exactly. And it's something that's been on all of our
minds.
Like
that, going through his mind. It was like the YouTube viewers can see me pointing to my mind as a kind of an indicator of where Doug's mind is. Just this is the kind of stuff spinning that you miss if you just download the pod audio.
Yeah, you can see Ruben make odd hand gestures. Can't miss that.
I finally got Finer to laugh, but yeah, it was really interesting.
It was interesting, and it's something that we've all already been talking about. Like, we kind of understand that Doug isn't going to get fired, and you had a great piece on NBCSportsPhilly.com kind of explaining why we like the numbers support that hypothesis that he won't get fired. But if he doesn't get fired and this thing continues to spiral, somebody's got to get fired, right?
Yeah.
So I went through the names earlier this week, and I figure we can just do that. We can just kind of go through the list of all of his main assistant coaches. They have like 30 coaches. We're not getting into the assistant position coaches or the quality control guys, but let's take a look at each of the main coaches on this team and figure if they're in danger or not. That work for you?
Sure does.
We'll start off with the easiest one, the guy who's kind of been under the most fire, right or wrong, Mike Groh. I put him on the hot seat.
He's on the hot seat. I still believe that a lot of fans are making him more of a scapegoat just because of the way he comes across in press conferences. You know, the Eagles, actually, everyone wants Frank Reich back and all that, and Frank's a good coach. The Eagles are actually averaging more points per game than the Colts. So the grass is always greener type thing. Now, I'm not defending Mike Groh.
The Colts quarterback did retire.
No, I understand. But Jacoby Brissett was playing really well there for a while. But the bottom line is, I think all the offense's problems generate with Doug. I do think Mike Groh is going to go, but just because I think they need a new voice in there. But I think a lot of this has been unfair, but just because he's not calling the plays, it's Doug's offense, it's Doug's scheme. Doug is deciding who's playing and who's not playing. And, you know this offense the things that Mike Groh does. I mean, they're really good on third down, which he's like the third down guy. So I don't think he's the root of all the problems. Can they upgrade? Can they do better? Probably. Mm-hmm. But I just think a lot of that's been unfair. But that said, I think it's pretty obvious he's not going to be here next year, at least in that role.
I think you're right, too, that it's unfair because ultimately Doug's in charge of the offense, and it all starts with him. But like I said, he's not going, so someone kind of has to.
Right.
And I think you're probably right. This is probably the last year for Mike Rowe, unless there's some miraculous turnaround in the offense, scores 50 points a game down the stretch.
But, I mean, it's important to know. I mean, they're middle of the road. They're not the worst offense. They're not the best. I mean, they're
certainly inconsistent.
Certainly very inconsistent. I think that's the biggest issue.
Yeah. Jim Schwartz, who's become a target of a lot of ire from Eagles fans. And right now, I understand it, like right this instant, because it was the worst defensive performance maybe in his time here, when you consider who they were playing in Miami. And
no question it was.
How little he adjusted. Where do you have him? I put him with a warm seat.
He's not getting fired.
You don't think so?
No.
No chance?
No chance.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
I think there's a slight chance. I mean, the problem is, and people think that he's like this terrible coach. He's not. He's a pretty good coach. So if you're going to fire Jim Schwartz, you have to have a backup plan in mind. And I'm not sure there's a better option.
There's not. And, you know, I wrote a piece about Ron Rivera because he got fired in Carolina, and he and Doug are good friends, and their wives apparently are really good friends. But, you know, you look at it, and again, the Eagles have allowed, I think, in the last 4 years, the Eagles have allowed like 135 fewer points than the Panthers. And that's Ron Rivera's defense with a couple different defensive coordinators. I think McDermott was there through 16. He's in his third year with the Bills, right? So, it's a grass is always greener thing. And I think Ron's a really good coach. I also think he's got a good chance to get a head coaching job. So the point is probably moot, as Rick Springfield's saying famously.
Don't know it.
I've done everything for you, Rick Springfield. Great song.
Nope.
But in any case, I don't think Jim's going anywhere. You know, this is – the Eagles are the number seven defense in the NFL since he got here with a Super Bowl win. And
I think a part of the reason I put this in there is they're the seventh best defense in points. They've given up the 11th most yards, which I think is frustrating, the bend but don't break. I think it frustrates fans. I think that kind of changes the view on him.
That's better than break but don't bend.
I agree.
You know, I think he coaches with the personnel he has. And, you know, I mean, one of the ironies is that the worst game they've played in 4 years against Miami probably came when they were the healthiest, at least since – you know, early in 17, but there's a recency bias that's there. I mean, the four games before that, they allowed 17 or fewer points. So you have to look at the big picture. We can't sit here. I mean, if every game was like Miami, yeah, he would be fired. And if the next four are like Miami, he'll be fired, but I don't expect that to happen.
Dave Fitt, special teams coordinator, the last coordinator on the list.
Yeah.
I don't know. I put him on the warm seat. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, I think we differ a little bit on him. I just think special teams has regressed a little bit. I think part of that's personnel.
I mean, I think a big part of that is personnel, because we've seen all the injuries and how much they affect the offense and the defense. But, like, every injury affects him because it changes the players he has available to him
on either
side of the ball.
Absolutely. No, but, again, that's part of the job. I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat. I think it's a little warm, though.
Maybe. I think he's definitely back on.
When he first got here, I mean, their special teams was like as good as anybody's.
That's
fair. It's not anymore.
I think they had
Chip brought him in.
They had premier players though. They had Chris Maragos, Brian Braman. Like these guys were Darren Sproles was a great returner at that time.
No question.
They had marquee players. I just don't think they do anymore.
It's fair.
The next one on the list and some of these are in no real,
you're going
real
the same
particular order.
As this.
Yeah, I did. I went with the order the Eagles list them in because I didn't
go
know
in alphabetical
to do it.
Going from in order of power and then alphabetical.
Yeah. So the last one is Deuce Staley, who was technically the assistant head coach. He really isn't. He's the running backs coach. He's not going anywhere.
No.
We don't have that much to say about him, right?
No, he's been here under. He played under Ray and Andy. And he coached under Andy, Chip, and he's been here under – he's either played or coached under every coach other than, you know, going back to Kotite.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I know some people want to make him the offensive coordinator. I like where he is right now as the running backs coach. I think
They certainly would run more.
They certainly would
35 times a game.
I just think he's really good at that. Why take him away from that? I understand maybe he could be a good offensive coordinator one day. I think Doug wants to have his offensive coordinator be a passing guy because that's what he is. And fair or not, I don't think Deuce is ever going to get promoted to that job.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. What do you got next?
Next is Philip Daniels, defensive line coach. On his first year as the the main defensive line coach, he was the assistant under Chris Wilson. Hard to say. I haven't seen.
It's fine line.
It's. I think he's done a good job with some of the guys. I mean, like Josh Sweat has had a pretty good year. Derek Barnett's never taken a jump up, but we're talking about 1 year.
Yeah.
And they did lose a lot of their defensive tackles, so it's hard for me to judge him right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting fired.
Yeah, he probably gets at least one more year. Next up, Ken Flagel, linebackers coach. I think he's the oldest coach on the staff. He's been doing this for a long time. You brought up a good point to me about him. It's like he doesn't have much talent. Like he's actually doing a pretty good job with what he's been given. I don't think there's a position they've neglected more in the last 4 years than linebacker.
Yeah, a bunch of free agents and late-round draft picks and converted special teamers. And I think he's a pretty solid coach considering – they just haven't made a priority, and yeah. Which I think is probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, the only one knock he might have against him is the whole LJ Fort thing, but I don't know how much of that is him, how much of that is Jim Schwartz.
I'll put it on Howie.
Well, no, I mean, Howie got the guy here.
Yeah, that's true.
And he can apparently play because he's doing it in Baltimore. It's on the coaching staff for not bringing it out of him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Justin Peele, tight ends coach. I have him on the warm seat because I don't think we've seen a big enough step from Dallas Goedert. But ultimately, I don't think it's enough to get rid of him.
No, and I think I know Dallas and Zach. I mean, Zach Ertz thinks the world of him. Mm-hmm. And Zach's a Pro Bowl type, perennial Pro Bowl tight end. I think Dallas has made strides. He's just had a lot more negative plays. I mean, he's going to catch 50 passes this year.
Okay.
What did he catch last year, 31, 33?
Yeah, something like that.
So I think he's become a bigger part of the offense. But
and he's a better – I mean, he's getting even better at the point of attack as a blocker.
Yeah. So I think he's progressed. He's just – there's been more drops and fumbles that kind of give the impression of a guy who's gone backwards. But I think he's done a lot of good things too.
Okay. Offensive line coach and run game coordinator Jeff Stoutland going nowhere.
No. He'll be here. The next coach will keep him.
Yeah, I would. I mean, he
might be the next
I
coach.
Wrote he's the best coach on the staff.
Oh. Better than Roy Istvan?
His assistant. We have to tell people who Roy Istvan is.
Better than Dino Vasso?
The assistant DB's coach. Yes, probably.
He's a good Sixers tweeter, Dino Vasso.
Dino? Yeah. He's a local guy.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Where's he from?
I don't remember. Local guy. I remember when he got hired, he was talking to me about it. Next one, Press Taylor, quarterback's coach.
Oh, he went to Ridley.
Yeah.
Ridley
yeah.
High. Interesting.
Press Taylor, quarterback's coach. I have on the hot seat. He's getting judged on one guy's performance, and Carson Wentz hasn't played to the level overall that we expected. So,
I think he. It's funny how quickly he's gone from a hot name, mm-hmm. especially with his brother getting a head coaching job.
His brother's not going to have a head coaching
job
for very long,
right? And I think that kind of that's the way these things work. It's like his brother fails, and it doesn't help his.
No, it doesn't, yeah.
All of a sudden, him and his brother are both – they're both getting fired. So I think he's – what did you go with, hot or warm?
I went hot.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I don't know how much of the Carson regression is on the coach, but I think that he could be certainly the take the brunt of that.
Yeah, and especially when you saw the last guy, John DeFilippo, when he was here, Carson had an MVP-like season. So it's hard to not compare the two. Right? I mean,
it's impossible, yeah.
Next one.
Who do you want for that job?
I don't know. Josh McCown?
Oh, I like that.
Next one, Corey Unlin, defensive backs coach, who, for a long time, I still do. I think he's a good coach, but if they're judging them on the performance of their players, I think he had an excuse built in last year with all the injuries. Mm-hmm. This year, I don't know.
He's
injured for a while, but
he's a weird one for me because I love the way he kind of patched everything up when they were out there playing with the Dexter McDougals and Josh McKinnons and he kept that thing going with what did they have 13 different cornerbacks play mm-hmm. last year. Yeah. He did a great job. Now that he's got everybody healthy, it's like it just has about. Although I mean, Jalen and Darby did play well for until Sunday. So again, maybe we're kind of putting undue emphasis on the last game. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's getting fired, but if things spiral out of control here this last month, he's a guy who could be, he could pay the price.
Yeah, I put him on the warm seat. The other thing I look at with assistant coaches is look at the young players. Have they gotten better?
I mean, well, I think Sydney's come a long way.
You have Sydney, who's a healthy scratch. You have Rasul, who can't get on the field.
It was the first game since they got drafted where they were both healthy and neither one played a snap on defense.
Yeah, I mean, so that's
a second and third round pick.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Howie.
Well, that's the question. Is it the evaluation or is it the coaching? And there's no real way to know, right? I mean, you just have to try to
figure
it
out. I'm putting
it
on Howie.
Okay,
no, there is no way to fully know. And I'm sure it's a little bit of both. It's just a matter of that sliding scale and how much is which. But,
The last one is Carson Walsh. I don't want to pick on the guy too much, but I think we all kind of understand he's not going to be here next year.
Well, you know, he got Matt Collins to line up in the right place some of the time. So I think there's that. You know what's funny is fans want former players for all these positions. Like, I keep getting these tweets. They should hire Jason Avant to be wide receivers coach, and they should hire.
I've been around a lot of players that wouldn't make good coaches. And I'm not saying that. Don't get it wrong. I'm not saying that about Jason. But yeah. I've been around a lot of players who just wouldn't make good coaches.
No. There's Give me three you think are going to get fired.
Mike Groh, Carson Walsh. That might be it.
And there's a bunch of, you know, assistant positions. I know there are 20 guys on the list, but
yeah.
I feel like Press Taylor is gonna get fired.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Press, Groh, and Carson.
Okay. Both. I think that'd be fair. Those are the three guys I have on the hot
seat. I think the defensive staff might stay intact. We'll see. And there could be always guys leaving for other jobs and everything, but I think that's gonna be it. I wonder about I do wonder about Philip Daniels.
Do you?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't have enough to work on yet with him.
Yeah.
I'm sure the coaching staff does. I mean, Doug does.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen enough one way or the other.
This holiday season, get all the tech you want with all the savings you want at the Nissan year-end sales event. Get in today for big savings on Nissan's full line. Hurry, event ends soon. Shop ChooseNissan.com and your local Nissan store.
Matt Collins is going to spend his Christmas in Miami.
You don't think they're going to cut him by then?
Maybe. No, he's going to line up in the right spot, and they're going to keep him.
Watch him like catch like 70 for 77 yards.
That would be an all-time situation here in Philadelphia.
Would it surprise you, honestly?
Yeah. yes, it would. But Matt Collins gets cut. He gets picked up by the Dolphins off waivers. He should have just stayed in Miami. He made this trip for no reason back here.
Well, you know what? The Dolphins play the Jets Sunday at 1. We could go up and...
I'll probably pass on
go
that.
Up and do a story on him?
Nah. You go ahead. I'll see you.
I'm going to text Travis and see if he wants to send you up to that. That'd be compelling that. Journalism.
I get like one day off a month. You want me to go cover Matt Collins? Oh,
yeah.
Were you surprised Matt got cut?
No.
No,
I think when you have a chance.
I mean, they'd stuck with this guy for so long.
Yeah, the timing's a little weird. I mean, I thought he was going to get cut a month ago. The whole thing is just a really bad look. I mean, his reps did finally start to come down the last couple of weeks. But up until the Patriots game, I think, he was getting a ton of reps, and he didn't catch a pass for 2 months. And they kept telling us he's doing everything we want, and then they finally cut him. I mean, it's just it's like this whole thing they just lost control of the situation. That's the impression I get, you know, from talking to them. And, I mean – poor Mike Groh trying to explain it at his press conference on Wednesday, whenever it was. Even Doug, there's no answers. I mean, why did you stick with this guy so long? Why did Greg Ward ride the bench practice squad for so long? JJ not play. Then you bring in Jordan Matthews for 2 weeks who plays 80 snaps. It just the whole way they've handled that position from the get-go is just bizarre. And through it all, Matt Collins is our guy. Now he's gone. Matthews is gone, both after they played a bunch of snaps. And I'm not under any illusions that Greg Ward's a savior, but he's on the 53, and those guys aren't. And, you know, it's just been one mysterious, inexplicable decision after another with that position. And it goes back to the guys they brought in for training camp. And, I mean, they've had a blind spot at wide receiver for a couple of years now. And I mean, the decisions they've made, the contract decisions, guaranteeing Alshon, the amount of money they gave Deshaun, It's just so many things that you just make you wonder if they can properly evaluate wide receivers. And I think the answer is pretty obvious that they can't.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I just went from Mac to big
picture.
Yeah,
you just went.
You just went. Yeah.
Sometimes you just go with it.
I did.
I think the thing for me with the whole Mac Hollins became the butt of a lot of jokes, and it was easy, and I was guilty of it too. But I think it made us lose sight of the fact that that's on the coaches. Like, if you're playing this guy for a month and he can't catch the ball and he's playing like 40 snaps a game, what are you doing? You drafted a kid in the second round. To me, that's inexcusable, and I put so much more blame on the coaching staff than I do on Mac Hollins, who it wasn't his fault they were playing him so much.
Yeah, and then there's the fact that I think it was the Detroit and Atlanta, or the Atlanta and Detroit games, he played a lot. He had five catches and one, four in the other for like 56 yards and 52 yards, which are functional numbers.
Yeah, yeah. You take that over zero.
So what happened to that Mac Hollins?
I don't know.
Like, how does a guy go from being a functional part of the offense, certainly not a star, but being okay and helping and contributing, to going 8 weeks without a catch? How does that happen? I don't understand it.
I don't know, but I like that Miami watched those six snaps and that illegal block, and they were like,
that's our guy.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of jokes that, like, they were tanking. And that's how you know that they went there. Like, we got to get worse. Go get Mac Hollins.
Yeah. You surprised he got claimed?
No, I mean, because he's still he was a fourth-round pick of just a few years ago. He can play special teams, even though he wasn't here at the end. He's got good size. He used to have good speed. I don't think he does anymore. But, I'm not super surprised.
There's a lot of guys who have played a lot of snaps and gotten cut, like, the next day.
Yeah. A whole lot. I mean, Orlando Scandrick, Akeem Spence, Mac Hollins.
Matthews.
Jordan Matthews.
Zach Brown,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them, and it kind of shows you that this roster has been in a state of disarray all season when that happens.
And there's just a wishy-washiness that it gives off the impression of a dysfunctional franchise when you have all these guys who have – played a ton of snaps, been a really important part of what they're doing, and they don't just get benched or reduced role. They're cut. Mm-hmm. They're going from play. I mean, Keem Spence played like 260 snaps. Gone. You know, I mean, guys like Jonathan Cyprian, and he wasn't playing a lot, but just these guys that they were counting on. Zach Brown was a starter. He's just gone. Scandrick, I mean, they were getting guys back, but still, there's just these guys who are a big part. I mean, Jordan Matthews played, what, 65 snaps the day before he was cut?
Mm-hmm.
It just, to me, it gives off the impression of a franchise that just isn't quite sure what the hell it's doing.
It certainly seems that way, and Doug Peterson tried to combat that and explain that, no, you know, the coaching staff and the front office, we're all on the same page, we talk about these things, but the evidence of that just isn't there right now.
Yeah, or they talk about them, but I don't know, maybe there's no consensus, or I just don't know. I've never seen a team go through so many players for, and you just don't even know why they're coming and going half the time. If you're looking for a great paying job with flexible hours, check out 2020 Census Jobs. Whether you already have a job or not, if you're looking for some extra income, even if you're retired, this could be a great opportunity for you to help make sure everybody gets counted. So apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs to help strengthen your community. That's 2020census.gov/jobs. The census, where everybody counts.
Pay attention, Mac Hollins. You might need that.
See, you're like, everybody's been unfair to Mac, and then you go for the
myself. Sheep
shot right there.
I can't help it.
Try.
It was too easy.
Just try.
No way. Jordan Howard, still not cleared for contact. He had a stinger about a month ago.
5 weeks ago now, November 3rd.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think he plays this year?
I asked Doug that. I said, is this potentially season ending? He said, no.
Absolutely. But there's four weeks left.
Season's over in 24 days.
They've certainly been a different team without him.
Yeah, and I appreciate you stalling as I try to find my story, which is not coming up on my finder. How come when I open recent documents that were open like an hour ago don't come up? And when I search for them, it says document, no such document. But if I go through my documents, it's right there. It drives me crazy.
Are we still doing this? Are we still doing the podcast here?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know. It just drives
me. It's not like a fan crowd interaction thing we're doing here.
I'm sorry. I got carried away there. I was a little frustrated.
You still haven't found your story.
No, but I know what I wrote. I think it's really kind of, Doug was really big on, with Jordan Howard, those first nine games, we've established our identity as a team that's physical, controls the line of scrimmage. They were running the ball 45% of the time through nine games, and they were 5-4, averaging 25 points a game. And Jordan Howard was playing really well. He was moving the chains. He was getting in the end zone. They were 55-45 as far as pass-run ratio, and they had the sixth most rushing attempts in the league through those nine games. In the three games without Jordan Howard, that ratio has gone from 55-35 to 69-31. Wow. And for the first time in Eagles history, three straight games with 40 or more passes and 23 or fewer runs. It's never happened before, three straight weeks. And they're 0-3, and they're averaging 17 points a game or whatever the number is. I think it's 16 point something. So, you know, there's – I think with Jordan Howard, it's they didn't just lose a running back and a good running back. They lost kind of that identity that they'd established. Miles Sanders is playing well, but Doug doesn't have, for whatever reason, doesn't have the faith in him to carry the load and be that workhorse running back. And, of course, with Jordan Howard was the one, you had a really good number two. Now they don't have that. I mean, I think Jay Ajayi is averaging 3.1 yards a carry. He's obviously not in midseason shape. He's been out of the league for, it hasn't played in a year. Again, another player the Eagles brought back because they were familiar with him. It might not be the right guy. We can't find a running back, so we'll just bring back, you know, our guy. Seems to be the philosophy here. But anyway,
I don't know if we're going to make it to the end of the season.
I digress.
Like this.
But
I'm worried about
the my point is they miss Jordan Howard so much, not just as a runner, but as the kind of identity of the team, of being a running team. And, you know, their time of possession has gone down without Jordan Howard from almost 33 minutes a game to just over 30 minutes a game. Now, it's only three games, but you can see the same pattern game after game that Doug gets away from the run. They've run the ball well for yards per carry, but they're just not sticking with it. And it's because Jordan Howard's not there. They really miss him a lot, and it's prevented Doug from calling games the way that was working early in the season.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
I just want to make sure.
I'm good.
Did you take a breath there?
I think that was all one breath.
Oh, my gosh. That was unbelievable. Saquon Barkley, you heard from him?
Yeah, talked to him today. He did a little conference call.
I'm basically just like a little kid softball pitcher today. I'm just like throwing him up for you.
Is this like a 6-12 league?
Yeah.
So he was really good talking about Miles and their relationship and how much Miles pushed him at Penn State. And he said, it was really interesting. He said, you know, our relationship was kind of built off, you know, he's this hotshot recruit coming in, and I'm like the established guy. And he wanted my job. He wanted my reps. He wanted carries. And we were very, very competitive with each other. And the respect that we developed in that competition brought us closer together and made us really good friends. And he said they FaceTime all the time now. He said we're like family. It's interesting. Penn State has not produced a lot of running backs over the years.
Hunt was pretty good.
Who?
Hunt.
Tony Hunt? Yeah. Tony Hunt was a good one. Third-round pick for the Eagles. Not one of the good ones. But Saquon and Miles already have the second – and well, Saquon last year had the most yards ever by a Penn State running back.
Wow.
Miles is already fourth for rookie yards. So it was Saquon, Franco, and then Kurt Warner was third, the other Kurt Warner. And
oh, Miles was like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, no, he went to Northern Illinois or something. Where'd he go? But no, the Kurt Warner with a C, the running back Kurt Warner from Penn State. So Miles is already one of the best running backs ever from Penn State, which is interesting to note. And actually having a better year than Saquon right now.
He is. I mean, Saquon's been hurt. And I think
he said that's no excuse. He said, I'm healthy. I'm just not producing. He was really good. He said
it might not be an excuse for him, but he doesn't look like the same guy.
Yeah, he did not use it as an excuse. He said, ever since the bye week, I've been healthy. I'm not playing up to my expectations. Interesting guy. It was good to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun for the next few years to see these two guys on opposite ends of it. I mean, they get to see each other twice a year, and I think it'll be a friendly competition between them for the next, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah, and he was asked about that, actually. He said, you know, it's not like two quarterbacks that are kind of, you know, centerpieces, you know, going up against each other. He said, with running backs, he said, we both can kind of root for each other. And he said, I just hope he does well and we win and we both stay healthy. But, yeah, they're similar players in that they're both really good receivers. They don't have the same build or anything. I think Saquon is
a giant.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a much bigger, more physical kind of runner, but
get it? See what I did there? He's a giant.
He is a giant, yeah. God, I have to deal with this every freaking day. except when you go up to cover the Jets and I'm sitting on my couch watching football. If you're a football fan, you have to check out our new game, Sunday Night 7 on the NBC Sports Predictor app. Really no reason not to play. It's totally free. It's got $2 million in guaranteed cash prizes this season with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what's going to happen in Sunday Night Football for your chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to NBCSports.com/predictor to make your Sunday Night 7 picks. What else you got, Dave?
Yeah, we'll finish it up with a quick look at the Giants.
It better be real quick.
Yeah, it's they're 2-10. They kind of stink, but what do you think, or what do you make of Eli Manning likely starting in this game? Do you think that's a good or bad thing for the Eagles?
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing because Eli stinks. I think
no like rejuvenation factor for the
team. There's a reason he got benched.
Fair.
He can't play anymore. He is younger than Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, I think. But
No, he's not.
But the thing that concerns you is, for the most part, the Eagles, and I guess it's true for most teams, they do better against young quarterbacks. I think Jim Schwartz knows how to confuse those guys. He's a turnover machine, talking about Daniel Jones. And I think you can really kind of fluster a guy like that. But with Eli, I mean, Eli can't run. He can't move. He's a statue back there. You can get to him. I think they can get to him. Pass pressure's been...
Well, he gets the ball out so quick.
He does get the ball out quick, but...
And now that he's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here, he might get it out even quicker.
Yeah, and he'll throw it to the other team, too.
He will do that.
Throwing more interceptions against the Eagles than any other quarterback. I think I ran the list of everyone who's picked him off in history. It goes back to, like, Roy Nell Young. It's quite a list, but I don't think... I mean, I think the Eagles are going to win pretty easily, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I have it complete.
They've had the Giants' number.
Yeah, what, 9 of the last 10?
Yeah, 9-1 in the last 10.
I mean, the Giants are really, really bad.
They are bad. I mean, they're probably the second worst team in football behind the Bengals.
Right. And they're actually, I mean, the Dolphins are actually been playing more competitive football than the Giants.
Certainly.
If they lose this one, I'm firing everybody.
Anyone else on the Giants? I mean, we mentioned Saquon. Evan Ingram's going to be back for this game. Golden Tate, probably back from his concussion.
It sounds like.
The Golden Tate revenge game, you're not buying that?
No.
He's been all right up there.
Yeah,
he's been better up there than he was here. They haven't found it challenging to incorporate.
Because he was there for the whole training camp and OTAs. Okay. That's another unfair thing.
Okay.
It's another thing that people just throw on Mike Groh because they don't like him. It was an unfortunate thing he never should have said. But it is hard to integrate a new player in the middle of the season as opposed to Golden Tate's been with the Giants since he signed there in March.
Sure, but they were in a similar situation where they had a guy who was kind of the slot guy, and you wondered how are they going to figure this out, but they kind of have.
No,
he's been pretty good.
He's a good player. They caught a huge pass for this team on fourth down in Chicago.
And he didn't know the play.
He didn't know the play, but he got it done.
He did.
What a thing. Imagine that. What else you got? Anything?
No, that's it.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to pick the Eagles in this game. If they lose this game, I'm not picking them again.
Ever?
Ever again,
so it'll be 2029. Yeah, I'm not picking them
from that 2019 year. All right. We will talk to you guys late Monday night after that game.
Stay up after the game for our podcast.
Yeah, it'll probably be more entertaining than the game is. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan. We will catch you next time.